This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Rajiv Subramanian.
A piece on the NPR website raises some questions about the relationship between legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg and the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Those two were friends for 48 years, very close. But Totenberg also reported on the Supreme Court and on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts? What do you tell students? How close of a relationship do you need to have to include in stories some sort of mention about that relationship?
Well, maybe first and foremost, maybe Nina Totenberg, who is a very highly regarded journalist, does her research, knows the topics of which she covers. She's very revered, first of all. But maybe it would have been best set that if they had a pre-existing relationship outside of work, that maybe ethically someone else should have tackled stories with the late Justice of the Supreme Court. If there's any sign or shade of potential conflict of interest, that should have been something they divorced themselves from. Even if it's a feature kind of story where, let me tell you about my friendship with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that's even somewhat problematic or could potentially be problematic. You have to live within these parameters. And I think when you're deciding to say, look, I know this person very well because we have a personal relationship. Again, that can be misconstrued, and you don't want to set yourself up for that. And unfortunately, that's the world we live in. That's the job that we have. And I think they should have handed it off to another. And they certainly have several other experienced reporters that have the same achievement and stature as Nina Totenberg did. But no, in hindsight, this was something that they should have thought better of, I think.
See, this is what happens when you're a journalist. See, when you start as a cub reporter, when you just start your career, you know, when I started my career, one day you will cover crime. Another day you will cover politics. Another day you cover a court. So, but in this case, as you specialize, as you become expert in certain fields, invariably you need to connect with your sources, become friends. I think that's what will be, you will have access to a lot of information. So with regard to this particular person where, you know, you had a friendship with RBG for like 48, 50 years, and obviously, definitely there's much more in terms of the relationship. You know, you spend a lot of time trying to connect. You have, all values that you resonate with each other. So naturally, there will be some kind of attraction between the values that you hold in case of Nina and RBG. So it's a very tricky subject and a wicked, because when you are trained to be a journalist, the only thing that you're trained to tell you is your public welfare should be your top priority. But what happens when your best friend also happens to be in a very important position? How you can pretty much handle that? I think that's a very sticky wicket. But, you know, my personal thing is, you know, it's very difficult to kind of, you know, mix friendship and being a journalist. And again, it's a kind of push and pull. Sometimes you just have to, you know, be in good terms with all these people to get scoop. And again, personally, I felt, you know, as Will mentioned, I think, you know, it would have been good for them to actually disclose all these things much earlier than rather disclosing it after the death of the Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah, and this was a 48-year friendship, so obviously this goes back long before the Ruth Bader Ginsburg was on the Supreme Court. And so did you want to say something, Will?
Well, I just agree with Rajvi and say that, look, this was something that, like you said, is pre-existing. And maybe if they'd done a story that maybe was more feature-oriented or feature news, maybe Nina Totenberg wanted to do a broadcast essay, say, of my 48-year relationship or friendship with the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, maybe after the fact. And maybe they disclosed that. I mean, I think there's anything wrong with that. But what I think there's a problem with is if she's being trying to be an objective reporter, and there could be if the audience senses any slightest shade of of a potential conflict of interest. That's, I think, where the problem lies.
I believe Walter Cronkite had some regrets after the fact because he was quite close with President Kennedy.
Right.
And Cronkite and his wife would go to the White House for dinners, and they go sailing with the Kennedys.
Right.
And I think Cronkite, looking back, thought maybe that was too close of a friendship, or there should have been some sort of separation there.
Right.
And that's part of the reason, perhaps, that CBS got this reputation for having a liberal bias, because you have their lead anchor hanging out with the Democratic president.
Well, Katherine Graham, I mean, Washington Post, I mean, they had strong relationships with the Kennedys and so forth.
Yes.
And they struggled with that, as the movie The Post eloquently put it, when they were trying to literally bring down the Nixon White House. So, yes, there's those things that exist, and we just have to be aware as journalists about our relationships that we make, and make sure there's no sense or appearance that it might be inappropriate in the jobs that we're trying to do.
Hey, we want to use the last few minutes of this program for this week to talk about the reporting the New York Times did on President Trump's tax returns. Rajvi, was there something in particular you'd like to say about the journalism done with that reporting?
I feel, the journalists in the United States could have done a much better job in terms of investigative journalism, but it's better late than never. With just a few days to go into the debate and all that, we got this major news breaking by the New York Times journalist, and I think it's a pretty big deal, because this is something that brings in transparency. Because, see, information is the most important thing, and there are some folks, where some people in power, they don't want the common public to know or have access to this kind of information. But right now, the people will know how much has the president paid in taxes, how much a local person who goes to works as a blue-collar worker, how much he or she pays as taxes, and how much the president of this country is paying taxes. This is going to be definitely an eye-opener. And I felt this kind of sense of achievement, because, this has been going in the Supreme Court, like people are trying to the New York attorneys, they are trying to get this Trump tax records public, but they were not able to do that for almost like several years. But because of New York Times, I think the investigative journalists, they managed to get access to those records, and they have published it on the newspapers, which is, I think, a pretty big deal, because it will show a sense of what the present president is capable of doing in terms of his finances and all that stuff. So I was very much thrilled to see the report and read the report, and I felt it's better late than never that the people of this country needs to know in terms of the president's personal and financial records.
Well, and the reporting contradicts what the president told the public several years ago, which was that he paid these large tax bills. And based on the information the New York Times got, that is not true. I will say, if it took this long for the New York Times to be able to get the information, I have a difficult time imagining any other organization, any other media outlet could have done it any more quickly.
Absolutely. And congratulate the New York Times for this outstanding investigative work. But, this is something that's been questioned of Trump when he was a candidate. And so if it's like you said, Rich, if it's taken this time to unearth this, what else lies beneath? If the leader of the free world and the commander in chief is, willing to lead this country and stand by the taxing laws and so forth that we have, he has to stand and assume the same responsibility. And I think we're finally seeing some light here on a subject that he's tried to cover up and to keep dark. So this is great investigative journalism.
And one of the fascinating things was the report said the president paid about $750 in tax money, which obviously Trump has said it's fake news, it's completely false. But we should really wait and watch, because imagine how much a common man pays thousands of dollars as taxes, and the president of this country is paying just like $750. That says something. Yeah. Even though Trump has said it's fake news and it's completely false, but I really can't wait to see what happens. And I'm really glad at least, this tax record is finally out. And thanks to New York Times.
Well, and tax money in part pays for law enforcement, and Trump has claimed to be a supporter of police and a law and order president. If he's not paying any taxes, he's not paying anything to support the police.
Yeah, he's not backing up his claims, absolutely, and you know, supporting infrastructure and education and all those things. But yes, he, especially as a law and order president, he's certainly not supporting or backing that up.
We're going to wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.